Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
For nope, those feet grew faster than the rest of her. Nope.
Shoes are the worst, man. They are the absolute worst when you have kids. You're like, Jesus Christ, already? And then, Alex, wait till she actually starts going outside and running around. Because then you'll be like, oh, two pairs per summer now. Cool. Yeah,
the thing is that the ones that she had, we thought were going to last until the end of warm weather. You know what I mean? Like, she wants to run around in warm weather. And then she alternatively grew out of them and then just busted out of one of the two. And we're like, we're not buying a new pair of sandals now. She'll wear them for 3 weeks. It's Wisconsin. It's going to be too cold by mid-October for her to ever wear sandals again. Then she won't be able to fit in them by next summer. We're not buying new sandals. So thankfully, a friend of my wife's has a 5-year-old who gave us an old pair of her shoes, and that's works out fine. But at the same time, it's just like we budgeted for you to be wearing the same pair of shoes until October, not until early September.
What were William Regal's two big announcements? I got the Eliminator Gauntlet thing. What was the other one?
The other one was the Battle Royal for the women. It's next week. Yeah.
No, Eliminator not next week as well?
Yes, both of them are next week. Both the number one contendership matches are next week, which is fine. It's just I feel like you could make one announcement. We've got two number one contenderships matches next week, not like, here's my first announcement. A number one contendership next week. Here's my second announcement. A number one contendership match, but a different one. Come on, William.
Oh, brother. Okay. And, man, I'm going to tell you, I think I was out of practice. I think I was out of practice.
With the two.
It was a tough one tonight to follow.
Yeah.
Like, usually they balance themselves out pretty well. Like, you know, what someone's talking, then there's some action over here. But oof. Oof. But hey, I'm not complaining. We got some good shows. So I guess I'll move this and we'll talk about that over here.
I feel like my hairline's going. I'm very sad. Too young, starting early. The widow's peak. It's not supposed to happen.
Oh, we're live. We've been live. How did that start?
Just as I was moaning about my hairline.
Wonderful. Just as Louis talking. Look, here's the thing. We all decided to come back tonight, all three of us together, and we're like, what would be the absolute best way to come back and make sure that we make complete idiots out of ourselves. I honestly don't know how everything started live, but hey, everyone, welcome.
We've been live for 3 minutes.
It's wonderful.
Welcome, everyone. Wednesday Night War Podcast here on Fightful.com, FightfulWrestling.com, YouTube.com/Fightful. I'm really glad everyone is here and everyone is paying attention to but hey, you know, look, the important thing is that we're all back here together. We have the band back together here tonight. We had our head-to-head action back again with AEW and NXT back on Wednesdays, and then we're back. The three of us are back, just like the song says, "Jokers to the left of me, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right." That's how the song goes. That's what I have here tonight, such as Louis Dangour from Wrestle Talk, who's hanging out with us, joins us all the way from over in the UK, stays up very late just to talk AEW with us. Louis, how are you?
Apart from my hairline, which I think the world now knows my issue. I'm doing good. my brother's going to watch this tomorrow and take the mic. I'm doing good. I am. I have enjoyed the past few weeks with being able to watch both shows on different days. So tonight was nice, but it was nice to have the Wednesday Night Wars back, and it's nice to be with you guys again, chatting wrestling. And I just want to say, I do have my FTF shirt on. So head on over to wrestlecommerch.com and check that one out.
There you go. Get that one over. Get that t-shirt. It's a nice one. And then on the other side here, we're also joined by Alex Pulaski, who you can catch on Fightful Select twice a week on Sour Graps, reviewing the quintessential forms of entertainment, which are known as WWE Raw and SmackDown. Alex, how are you doing?
Good. I've recovered from Raw in your face, and looking forward to next week, Raw. How do you like them apples? So it's good. We're in good shape here. Next, Sour Graps this Saturday is the 100th episode of Sour Graps.
No way.
We are doing a celebration that I am calling the Sour Centennial, in which I will review SmackDown as quickly as possible and then get directly to a Q&A session, which people have been begging for since like episode 40. So get your questions in to me on the Twitter with hashtag AskSourGraps.
Please do, because he would like to talk about other things than Raw or SmackDown.
Please.
But you can
ask him about his daughter's sandals. See how many questions he can get about.
I've already gone on an entire rant about that was all captured on the stream, so that's good.
Look, let's break this down one at a time. First and foremost, if you want to see Alex Pulaski rant about Raw and SmackDown as opposed to children's footwear, head on over to FightfulSelect.com. It's the best way. It's really the best way to show support for everything that we do here at Fightful, even though, you know, we botch our beginnings of some shows. But it's really the best way to do it. And you get Alex doing his reviews. You get Sean Ross Sapp, who does a weekly backstage report. He answers tons of questions in his Q&A sessions. There's extra content from the Listen Your Boy podcast every week. Steven Jensen has a podcast there where he covers everything non-WWE related. You get little scoopsy previews and stuff like that. It's a good time and a good way to show some love for Fightful. So head on over there, FightfulSelect.com. Subscribe, damn it. But another way to show some love is to send us a super chat. I'm going to read them. I'll read your question or comment here on the air. And there's been a couple here already. Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Thank you, Anakin. Says, Louis, stop complaining about your hairline at 20 years old. Yeah, I agree. But I mean, it's never too late to take full consideration of where your hairline is heading, right? I mean, you know, there's steps you can take early on to prevent. Okay. We're not sponsored by anything in that regard. Though that would be a hell of a segue tonight.
That would save me a lot of embarrassment.
As well. Thank you for being here, Louis. Eloquent left us a super chat, says, Sandals Appreciation Super Chat.
Thank you.
And Evan Wright left us a super chat as well, saying, love the Alex Sandals rant. Keep
the
that
thing
in.
Is that you don't recognize because thank God you don't see me all day long, but I do rant about literally everything, not just wrestling. It's just I'm confining it to that medium just for the shows that you see me on. But I do, I rant about everything. It's a sickness. I need help.
Patel Ron left us a super chat as well. Thank you very much. With simply saying, botchamania.
Mm.
It happens. It happens to the best of us. What can I tell you? Sengir Vampire Tom, a.k.a. Tom, left us a super chat. Thank you, Sengir Vampire. Says, have fun with the show, gents. We absolutely will. And Anakin left us a super chat as well, saying, good to see the three musketeers together again, but rest in peace, Louis Sleep again. Yeah. He stays awake out of love. And it's now out of... What's that?
My sleep pattern's going to be better because I'm not... So I watch, regardless of if I cover the show, I'll watch it. So I had to obviously stay up and watch AW and record that with whoever I was doing it with that week. And then I'd stay up and watch NXT as well. So I'm actually staying up less days, sort of late nights, now this is on. So yeah, my sleep pattern will somewhat be recovering over the next couple of weeks once the Wednesday Night Wars are back.
Unlike your hair pattern, which will probably not recover. Okay.
All right, Warren, should we just get them out now? I give you two more by the end of the show. Two more.
I get two? All right, all right. I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I'll keep them at the ready. Guys, what was a better show tonight, AEW or NXT? Louis, what do you think? let's just get on with it.
Yeah. AEW for me.
AEW, Alex?
AEW, I guess.
Let's go. Consensus is reached. AEW wins tonight. So we're going to start talking about AEW. That's the prize. It's just that's who we start with. And we're going to start with a super chat from TD Stinger, who says on his end, thought both shows were pretty good tonight. Nothing necessarily huge happened on either show, but just some good, fun wrestling all around. Thank you very much for the super chat, TD. Louis, you're nodding. You seem to agree with this assessment.
Yep. I thought AEW in particular, obviously the one I mainly watched, was a very good show, a very solid show, as has sort of been par for the course. Nothing major happened, but nothing offensive or sort of bad happened. I very much enjoyed what we got to see.
Alex, what about you? What do you think?
It was a very good night of wrestling all around. I don't know if this made it into the stream when I thought it was off air, but I haven't been watching any Dynamite since I haven't been covering it because I just don't have the time to watch it on another night.
Sure.
But I'm getting back into the swing of things, and it's always a really cool thing to see them succeeding so much in the away from the whole Wednesday Night Wars deal. Like, going over a million is huge for them. Like, considering there's some weeks where like Raw is like eking out a 1.2 or whatever it is that we're doing, like a terrible ratings. Like, hey, eventually we're gonna look at these things going, this is a toss up, and I can't wait for those times.
Well, since it wasn't that much of a toss up tonight, we're gonna go right ahead and start talking about AEW, which started with Jurassic Express versus FTR in a non-title match. The Bucks actually came out before FTR did, and they super kicked the ref, Louis. And they go backstage. They have stacks of cash, which they toss to a very casually dressed Tony Khan, who's sitting at the AEW equivalent of the gorilla position. Yeah, and they run into FTR. FTR sort of make a little fun of them, or I don't know if they're how sincere they were in their appreciation of their gesture, but the dickhead Bucks are continuing down the choo-choo train of dickheadedness.
Yeah, dickhead Bucks are, I was about to say, something I can get behind, but don't know if that would be the right thing to say. I am a fan of this Young Bucks, Elite, Omega Page stuff. I have been since its inception, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing where they go with Dickhead Bucks, because it's great stuff. Them just tossing the money to Tony Khan was fantastic. So sort of yeah. like, we don't care about the fine. No, I thought this was a great way to start the show. I was very, very excited once I popped up and sort of, oh God, here's the Bucks super kicking a ref.
As for the match in itself, like we mentioned, it was a non-title match. Jungle Boy has some great takedowns on both members of FTR. Eventually, Dax jumps off the top rope, gets caught by Luchasaurus and into a power slam. Again, FTR, when they go to the ropes, sometimes it doesn't quite work in their favor. Eventually Cash gets a power slam of his own on Jungle Boy, and that's when Jungle Boy becomes your babyface in peril for this match. There's some solid double team effort keeping Jungle Boy away from Luchasaurus. FTR's MO, and they're very, very good at it. And then Luchasaurus does get the hot tag. Combination tail whip followed by an elbow to the back of Hardwood's head by Jurassic Express. There's a series of near falls that follow. Jungle Boy dives on Cash, but back on the apron, or even before that, excuse me, Luchasaurus dives on Cash, who moves out of the way on the floor, and Luchasaurus just wipes out into the audience. Jungle Boy then dives on Cash, back on the apron, starts fighting with Dax. There's a sunset flip, Wheeler counters, and there's a bit of assistance there to get the roll-up pin on Jungle Boy, but FTR win on this one. Louis, what did you think of the match?
Yeah, I thought it was a great opener. Anything involving FTR will have my attention. And I very much enjoyed this. They have a great knack, and they did this with the Private Party match a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, of putting over the opponents they're wrestling, mm-hmm. but still managing to put themselves over in the process. And that's what you ideally want from wrestling, where all four men came out of this match more over and more having achieved something. Even if the opponent didn't get the win coming out of it, which is sort of the main thing you want to get from wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, this was a great match, great way to open the show. FTR were great. Luchasaurus, also good. Jungle Boy is going to be a star. So no, I thought this was a great way to open the show. And hopefully not the last time we see these two teams work together.
The Jam 1 Ryan B. Jam left us a super chat. That's a mouthful. Thank you very much for the super chat. It says, Nyla was kayfabe suspended for powerbombing Rick Knox. Bucks should also be suspended now. Also, that was a great women's match. We're going to talk about the women's match, but thank you for your super chat. What are you... that would be consistent, right? They super kicked Marvez last week, and now they go after a ref. Yeah, that would make sense to me. What do you think, Louis?
Yeah, it would. I mean, you've always got the EVP sort of way of getting out of it, I suppose. That the consistency doesn't, the sort of the lack of consistency, I guess, doesn't bother me that much, because obviously the Bucks are EVP, so suspending them might not be the easiest thing to do. But yeah, that's not a major thing that bothers me. And I think that them continually doing this and the sort of them chucking the money at Tony Khan was worth perhaps the inconsistency for what was a cool spot and a cool angle.
Next, we move backstage where the aforementioned Alex Marvez, good to see him back on his feet a week after taking a double super kicks like that. He's not a trained...
Doing something, neck brace, something.
Right? There should have been a little something. Him just going like this. You know, something, at least that. Matt Hardy is screaming. He's in pain on the floor. He's clutching his knee. Private Party are there, and they're commenting, he was attacked. And I find they're pretty calm regarding everything. And then their attackers, Chris Jericho and Jake Hager, come back into frame. And they're like, hey, you got attacked, what happened? And they sort of mock everyone, and Private Party seem very, they seem very nonplussed by this situation nonetheless. But that would lead us, we can actually talk about the match right now, since we've talked about the lead-in. We can talk about Private Party versus Chris Jericho Jericho and Jake Hager. Private Party used some double team to take Hager down because he's a big guy, right? They knock Jericho off the apron and then hit stereo dives on the heels, which was pretty cool. Finally, the heels get in control of Mark Quinn. Back from commercial, Cassidy fights out of a sleeper but gets thrown around by Hager. Cassidy hits an assisted silly string on Jake Hager. Then Quinn hits a Topi Con Hilo to the floor and a crossbody on Jericho. He covers him but only gets two. They do the, they being Private Party, do the foot stomp neckbreaker combo on Jericho. And Cassidy even hits an assisted top rope Hurricane Rana on Jericho. The assist came inadvertently from Jake Hager. Cassidy ducks the Judas effect, but Jericho avoids a top rope senton and hits the Judas effect for the win. And after the match, Jericho puts the walls on Cassidy. He won't let go because he's dastardly. Mark Quinn has to come in for the save. What'd you think of the match, Louis?
Wasn't offensive. This was potentially my only major issue with the show because it wouldn't be a episode of AEW Dynamite and a Wednesday Night Warfare podcast if I didn't have something to moan about and something to nitpick. I do not care for the team of Hager and Jericho. For me, it should be Jericho and Sammy. That's where the that's where my interest would lie. I just don't have an interest in them. Whereas pretty much every other tag team on the roster, if I saw them in a match, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I'm in for that. With them, there's no sort of real thing where I'm going, oh, I'd like to see that. I think a lot of it is, unfortunately, due to the fact I just don't really care for Jake Hager. There's nothing against him personally. Say what you want. Think his role should be a henchman, not a tag wrestler. Yeah, this wasn't. This isn't, especially with Proud and Powerful. Like, what's the dynamic there? It would be like, I don't know, DX, Triple H, and X-Pac as being in the same tag division as Billy Gunn and Road Dogg. Ultimately, like, if you're in the tag division, you want to win the tag title. So having two teams in the tag division doesn't make much sense. Yeah, it is what it is. The match in itself was fine. Nothing offensive. But it was probably my least favorite on the show. But that, I think, is due to the fact that all the other stuff on the show I really did quite enjoy. So, yeah, nothing incredibly offensive by it, but nothing to write home about.
Clearly, they are seeing some, you know, they do want to put some stock into Jericho and Hager. And I agree. I mean, it's an odd pairing, especially when you consider how deep the division is without putting singles guys in a tag team, right? Just in and about itself. This isn't WWE, where there's no tag teams in their tag team division, or very few. And they have to sort of pair some guys together. It's an odd decision, I agree. Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Thank you, Anakin. He says, why are AEW continuing the Jericho-Cassidy angle? It feels very WWE to keep the feud going and having another match between the two. It feels very WWE to keep the feud going and having another match between the two. Are they having a match next week? Is that what we're...
No, it's Brody Orange Cassidy next week.
Maybe or is he, no, I think he's talking about Cassidy, not Orange Cassidy. The Cassidy from Private Party.
Oh, they...
Louis is listen. You gotta go easy on Louis, right? He's had quite a shock this evening, right? You know, he's trying to deal with the trauma of looking at himself too long in the mirror, right? And there's one left. It's fine.
One left.
One more to go. Evan Wright left us a super chat. What?
Whatever. I was just going to say, I don't know. If it's Orange Cassidy, yes, but I don't think they're having a match. If it's other Cassidy, that's fine. Doesn't really bother me.
Evan Wright left us a super chat. Thank you, Evan. He says, Hager deserves credit for his selling lately, in my opinion. I agree. He's been doing a fantastic job selling. You didn't? No, Louis? Okay.
Hagen.
All right. It's okay. We had Frankie Kazarian versus Hangman Page in a slapper of a match. Gosh, darn it. I dug this match so hard. Kenny Omega was on commentary during this one. There was such great offense to start. Page started hitting some of the hits, such as his pescado to the floor. The running shooting star press as well. There's a German suplex by Kaz at some point, but Page lands on his feet and takes Kaz down, which was fantastic. Kaz tries a splash off the corner, but Page catches him in an overhead slam, which again was fantastic. Kazarian hits a slingshot DDT. There's some backslide attempts, an unprettier or a kill switch by your boy Kazarian as well. Huge pump handle DVD, Death Valley Driver by Page. That looked a little rough, actually, but also looked good at the same time. And it all came to an end when Page tries to go for the buckshot lariat. I like how Kazarian saw it coming, tried to run some interference, but he couldn't help the inevitable. Page uncorked it and got the win. I love this match. I thought it's one of the better matches I saw this evening. Louis, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, very good. That's pretty much all I've got to say. Very good match. Nicely, Kaz get a nice singles match. Hangman obviously established him as a singles wrestler moving forward after the split up of his team with Omega. So yeah, I was a very big fan of this, and more of Kaz in some singles matches, please.
Sure, absolutely. This was absolutely fantastic. And then after the match, Kenny Omega leaves commentary, but just walks away. Doesn't go celebrate, doesn't go congratulate. And Paige at the end sort of just looks around, wondering, wait, wasn't Kenny here? Oh, I'm alone again. Alex, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Elite angle.
Sounds like keeping up with the Kardashians. Keeping up with the Elite.
Again, this is another little layer that they're adding here. This has been great storytelling so far. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, this would qualify as the longest storytelling in WWE in like the last 10 years. Like this whole thing, and the fact that we've gotten Young Bucks doing this really heelish stuff for no real reason other than just like to prove they can, added to Kenny and Paige finally breaking up, FTR's lurking around there as part of this whole thing. Everybody's saying we're going to get a new Four Horsemen. It's going to include FTR and Paige. Is the Elite going to like be this counter to that faction? This is all incredibly intricately told, and what I love about it is there's like four or five, maybe even a half dozen different ways they could go with the story.
Sure.
And all it would take is a tiny little tweak, and everything can change. Like, you can easily go by all this stuff. There's a hidden motive for this, or this person is pretending to be in league with this person, but actually they're going to swerve them. No, you think they're going to swerve them, but it's not going to be the swerve. All these things are possible, and I can't wait until they get back in front of a real crowd, because then you're going to start seeing some major revelations along the way, and the people in the audience are going to friggin' eat it up.
Evan Wright left us a super chat. Thank you, Evan. Says, I love they're keeping Paige from doing the Deadeye move. That's a good observation. I think he'll break it out for when he wins the world title for a big pop. Oh, there's a prediction for you right there. But yeah, I agree. That's really interesting that they're keeping it just squirreled away for the time being. Thank you very much for the super chat. Nanakin left us another super chat. He said, "Never mind, I got confused. I thought regarding the whole Cassidy thing. I thought it was Orange Cassidy in the match. That's what I get for not being able to watch Dynamite live." In parentheses, stupid work. That's fine, Nanakin. Don't worry about it.
Although he brings up an interesting point. It can be confusing if you just see a last name of Cassidy in this match with Jericho and you don't see an Orange or an Isaiah ahead of it. Like, that can be confusing. There's not a lot of dual two different guys and two different complete acts that have the same last name in the same company. There's not, they don't do that a lot. So that can be, that could be confusing if you're not actually watching it. It's just an interesting thing I never thought of before.
Oh, well.
I was about to say Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy when they're in WWE.
Well, they're brothers. They're brothers. And that is different.
A couple of more super chats. Eloquent left us a super chat saying AEW was insane. One of my favorite shows of the year. It was very good tonight. It was I thought it was particularly good. We all did here on the panel. Evan Wright left us a super chat as well. Thank you, Evan. Says this AEW show was killer this week, man. Established new people, kept stuff moving. Seidel versus Spears and Sky versus Carter next Tuesday. AEW wins, no contest. They announced Seidel on Dark? That's interesting. Well, that's good.
It's not Dark. It's a special broadcast of AEW after the NFL game, I believe.
NBA, but yeah, you're British.
You're American sports.
Yeah. Go play some cricket.
MJF comes to the ring. He comes to the ring for his match. Shakes it once, extends a hand, but instead goes for a thumb to the eye. Good old fashioned heel work there, and goes straight into a Fujiwara armbar and gets the squishy squash win. He keeps it on for a while after the bell is done because, you know, he's a heel. But after he gets a microphone, he says he still considers himself undefeated because Mox cheated. He says that he should be referred to as the undefeated, undisputed, and uncrowned AEW World Champion of All Elite Wrestling. And I thought that was funny. I don't know how, if it was meant to be, but AEW World Champion of All Elite Wrestling, I can get behind that. Gets Justin Roberts to say it all. He says, you know, he seems that there seems to him that there's a new group or a new stable that pops up every week on AEW. He's not entirely wrong. He thinks maybe, you know, he's always seen himself as a lone wolf, but he thinks that maybe this wolf should join a wolf pack. He says whatever he decides, whether he joins a group or doesn't, he's still better than us, and he and we know it, right, Louis? What'd you think of the promo?
I mean, the match was brilliant. It was like, knowing me, funny, I loved it. I thought,
which one?
Oh, I've set Siri off.
It's been that kind of night, folks.
Falling apart. This the put him straight in the submission move was fantastic. I loved it. Put over Moxie is pissed from the put over MJF is pissed from the Moxie loss, and also that more aggressive side of him, which was great. And then the promo afters. I mean, anytime MJF is on the mic, you are guaranteed to get a very, very good promo, and this was no exception at all. Another fantastic promo from him. His Wolfpack stuff, I don't know whether I'm thinking too much into it. Maybe could be bringing the American Wolves in with Eddie Edwards and David Richards. Maybe. That was just a very, maybe am I looking too much into it? I don't know. But I think he said Wolfpack a few times to the point where I was like, okay.
What's Kevin Nash up to?
There you go.
Ah.
What's Kevin Nash doing? Absolutely. That's. You know what I really liked about it? After weeks of very long-winded MJF promos, I was happy to see him cut a short one and always being just as good. That felt good. It breaks it up a little bit. It's good to. It's fun to have the long extended promos, but when he can come in and be like, just punch one out in under 3 minutes, I can dig it. He's so good. He's really good at what he does. In regards to the stable stuff, Eloquent left us a super chat again. Thank you, Eloquent. It says Dynasty in AEW, talking about MJF's stable in MLW with Alexander Hammerstone. I mean, you know, Wardlow is kind of his Hammerstone right now, right? To a certain degree. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about Dynasty, so we'll see. But I think this will be a faction, if it is, will be something with current AEW people as opposed to bringing new people in.
Eddie Kingston is in the ring with the Lucha Bros and the Butcher and the Blade. He says that he never lost the Battle Royal. I hope they continue this one. I hope they push this one and that he complains for a full year about it. I'm okay with this. The five of them, he says, are not a family, not a stable, not a faction. Excuse me. They are a family. They're not a stable, not a faction. They're a family of violence, and he asks for victims. So Butcher and the Blade pull some people out of the audience. Wrestlers, of course. They bring them into the ring. They beat them up. Basically he says that they are standing united. They got their act back together now. And he turns to the Blade and he says, now it's time for you to get your house in order. Talking about something that Eloquent mentioned in a super chat as well. Thank you again, Eloquent. And he says, interesting how the Allie and Blade story will play out. Because that's clearly what they're talking about. Allie is legit with Blade in real life. Yet in storyline in kayfabe, she's off doing stuff with QT Marshall. What'd you think of the segment?
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Kingston again. As I said with MJF, anytime you give Eddie Kingston the mic, you're guaranteed to get a good promo. And this is what we got here: him shouting in your face, just in your face. Was probably the best way thing we've heard about in your face this week.
Yeah,
whatever that tagline was. But no, I like this segment. I like how, like, not saying, because we do see a lot of stables in AEW, saying, "Oh, we're not a stable, we're a family." Put them over as slightly more than that, and it was at least Eddie Kingston acknowledging the fact, "Hey, we know there's a lot of stables here, but this is why we're different." Is what I liked about that. Him saying get your house in order was a nice line, and I think a few with QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes for the Butcher and the Blade and also for Lucha Bros will be a nice way to do it. I'm going to be interested to see how they do feuds like that. So will, say, Butcher and Blade feud with QT and Dustin, will Lucha Bros have their own feud? Will they be involved in that feud? It'll be interesting to see how the dynamic plays out, because we haven't really seen, definitely recently anyway, two tag teams sort of in the same feud who are very different in themselves, and two pre-existing tag teams going into a faction together. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward. But for what the segment was, it was another very, very solid segment from AW.
I just want to say, rest in peace to the Death Triangle. Descansa en paz, Triangulo de la Muerte. I loved the idea of Pac running with the Lucha Bros. Like, that was, I was so excited for that, especially because they called themselves Triangulo de la Muerte. What an amazing name for those three dudes. And to, like, actually see them in six-man tags running around doing crazy stuff. Like, I miss you, Pac. Can you, how good a swimmer are you? Can you hire a canoe to get back over here? I need to see this guy. He's got to be pissed. Eddie Kingston shows up and steals his boys. Like, hey, that's a feud I'd like to see. Pac versus Eddie Kingston. Let's get that shit going. I miss you, Pac. You're the Triangulo de la Muerte. You're gone forever. Gone too soon.
Well, if it's any consolation, Alex Evan Wright, who left us another super chat. Thank you very much tonight, Evan. Very, very generous of you this evening. He says, Pac will be back to collect his Lucha brothers. So he's on your side. He feels that he's going to come back to reclaim the bonds that existed before COVID. Thunder Rosa.
No, what we need is the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bastard.
Yes. Oh, that'd be good, too.
Wouldn't mind that at all.
Alliteration. Alliteration's important in wrestling. Thunder Rosa defeated Eva Lise to retain the NWA World's Women's Championship. This was a strong match. I liked the beginning where it felt very, very personal, and they were taunting each other. Eva Lise was getting really under Thunder Rosa's skin. They exchanged some arm drags at first. There was a hurricane rana by Eva Lise that was followed by a thunderous basement drop kick by Rosa. You see what I did there? She gets Ivelisse in the Gory Especial as well. Dragon Screw leg whip and a great hesitation basement drop kick on Ivelisse, but can't put her away. I love the side Russian leg sweep that rolled through into a crossface. That was good shit, pal. Ivelisse hits her snapmare low kick combination, which she usually has been ending matches with these days. Covers Rosa, but doesn't put her away. Rosa hits a tombstone to end the match. Before we get into the post-match segment, Louis, what did you think about this one?
This was stiff. Jesus. They were laying it in, and I like that. It was a nice, long women's match with story coming out of it, and that is exactly what we have wanted for months.
Mm-hmm.
And they've listened, and I'm very happy for that because it was a very good match. Both came out looking more over as a result. And yeah, good stuff. And then the post-match, which I presume you'll get into talking about now, was possibly the best thing about this for me, because it was a character development and a storyline coming out of the match, which led to another match, as opposed to just random stuff being announced for next week. It was a characters and storylines which worked across many layers. You've got gone. I'll let you talk about it now, Warren, and then I'll give my thoughts on the thing overall.
Diamante ran in after the match. She accompanied Ivelisse to the ring, and she attacked Rosa. She and Ivelisse start celebrating with the belt, but Sheeta, who was in the audience and she was watching like this at first, which I thought was really funny, she stuck up for Thunder Rosa and took out the heels here, and Sheeta showed some respect to Thunder Rosa. There you go. That I agree. This was a very simple yet very effective post-match angle.
Yeah, and you've obviously got the multiple layers of it where Sheeta and Rosa have tagged together. There might have been a bit of faced each other before. There might have been a bit of a tease of an NWA women's title match, like giving her the title, sort of eyeing it up. And then you've got Diamante and Ivelisse undefeated in tag team matching together. So presumably have tagged before, presumably going in as favorites. A match and a story with multiple layers, something that AEW does well with its men's division. We'll be seeing with its women's division next week, and we saw this week. So yeah, all round great stuff, and hopefully this is sort of the beginning of things falling into place for AEW and the women's division moving forward.
Zach Barber left us a super chat. Thank you, Zach. And it's for Alex Pulowski. He says, Alex, a few weeks ago you said AEW would be the superior product once they got their women's division in order. Where are you now?
I mean, it's a huge step. This match was stiff. This was some good stuff. Thunder Rosa is really great. And I like this. I asked the match with Ivelisse. I thought it was great. Diamante's super good. Sheeta is a very, very, very talented wrestler. Britt Baker is this amazing character. I love Big Swole. Like, get everybody into actual programs with real storytelling. Give me a hierarchy. Give me women who are teaming up, not necessarily in a tag team, but like the both of us don't like her. Let's have that be a storytelling. Whatever you want to do. Like, hey Louie, they've still got a little some zombie lurking around over there killing people. Like, I'm super into whatever they figure out to do at Abaddon that's not on Dark. I am a big proponent of the women they have under contract. Nyla Rose is out there. You could do stuff with her. Like, there are people they have there that you can do stuff with. They've just chosen not to.
Mm-hmm.
Once they choose to and they actually get some good creative behind it, yes, this the off to soar. Like, this is the thing, is that we're going to talk about this in a bit. They decided, each show tonight, decided to start off with a major strength for them. On NXT, they showcased the women's division. And on AEW, they showcased their tag division. Like, to start off the night. And once they start doing really great stuff with AEW's women, you're no longer going to be able to look at NXT and go, well, that's the place you have to go if you like women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because AEW doesn't do anything. And once you take that advantage away from NXT, all of a sudden, well, I don't know where your advantages lie necessarily on that side of Wednesday night. So it behooves NXT to try and step up in other areas as AEW is stepping up in their weak spot. I'm looking forward to both shows getting much better as they give some TLC to the places that need it on each show.
The Gem One Ryan B. Jam left us another super chat. Thank you very much. Says, I've been calling Eddie's group, talking about Eddie Kingston, Eddie's group Murder Inc. That'd work for him. And it all makes sense. They all look like people who would be capable of that. We get a segment with Miro and Kip Sabian, who are lifting weights and talking about gaming and then going off to a bachelor party. Cool beans.
I love Miro. I'm so happy that he's here and doing things. I can't wait to see how roughshod they let him run in AEW, considering how dirty he was done by WWE.
Lance Archer then comes out with Jake Roberts. He grabs someone from the audience and beats him up, of course. Roberts cuts a promo, setting up the fact that Lance Archer has a six-man tag team set next week against Jon Moxley and two people of his choice. And basically Roberts wants to make an offer to Team Taz to join Lance Archer on their side, and they want to put their differences aside to just do some mayhem. Taz comes out, thinks it's a great idea, and gladfully offers up Brian Cage and Ricky Starks. Archer even cuts a promo, but Jon Moxley arrives from the audience, of course. He starts to cut a promo, but he gets ambushed by Starks and Cage. And this was so well done. I thought this was another fan, like from a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, my God, security. But Ricky Starks had me going here.
Mox as well with his facial.
Oh, my God. Everything worked here. So they start beating up on Mox. And who comes to the rescue? Louis. Will Hobbs running in with a chair to fend off the heels. Mox announces that his six-man tag team match his partners are Will Hobbs and Darby Allin. There's a lot to, I mean, there's obviously a lot here. There's one big story here, but tell me, let's talk about the segment. Go ahead.
Firstly, great to hear that Darby Allin's alive after that spot in the casino battle royale. Yeah. Jesus Christ. If you told me he'd never wrestle again, I wouldn't be shocked. That sort of went under the radar with everything that went on with Matt Hardy. Mm-hmm. But, good segment. Very good segment overall. The six-man teams make sense, sort of. The Will Hobbs one, not sure why he's included. That wasn't really played up, but great to see him included. Irrespective of that, he had a fantastic showing in the Battle Royal, and I thought was great. Him, especially just even the small things, like him checking on Matt Sydal after that scary fall, small stuff like that. That was like, all right. This guy knows what he's doing in the ring, not only in terms of actual wrestling, but checking on people that need and things like that. Just small little things. And obviously news he signed today. Seeing him included is great. He has a lot of potential, I think, to be a big player in AEW. So having him involved, especially working with Cage and Archer, two other big men, works well. I presume that Archer's team will be picking up the win next week to sort of build the tag title match on the anniversary show. So having Hobbs in the match again, I presume, is a good way for Archer to pin him sort of someone that won't lose anything by being pinned by Archer and allows Archer to get the W. Good segment, good stuff. Builds up the title match well. And obviously you can play up the hostility, I guess, between Archer and Cage, which when that eventually happens, will be brilliant.
We got a couple of super chats here. Evan Wright left us another super chat. Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Thank you, Evan says, I'm here for the Will Hobbs super push. My God, what a great couple of weeks this guy has had. And he's punched into this high-profile angle. It's fantastic. Eloquent left us another super chat as well. Thank you very much, Eloquent. It says, glad to see an AEW Dark mainstay get a push. Yeah, there's a lot of legitimacy that's added to Dark in these types of circumstances. Plus, Hobbs was signed officially yesterday. It was announced anyway officially yesterday. So it's all great stuff. Hops88 left us a super chat as well. I love that AEW wasted no time in pushing Will Hobbs. I agree. Chris Reigns left us a super chat. Thank you very much, Chris says. I'm really looking forward to the six-man tag next week. I love everyone in that match. It's going to be a lot of good stuff. I agree. I don't mind them setting up setting stuff up with six-man tag matches. It's very New Japan. It's a very New Japan way of doing that.
Yep.
So let's move on to the main event. Holy hell. Santana and Ortiz got beat by the best friends who also got beat. They just, my God. This was the parking lot fight, of course, is what we're talking about. Surrounded by cars. It's crazy how it was essentially the same setup as Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole a couple of months ago, and it was so much more effective without all the bells and whistles. You just got it straight off the bat, man. And they're bouncing each other off cars. Trent puts Santana under the I think it was Santana, right, under the hood of a car, and Chucky, yeah, and Trent both sent on off the top of the car onto the hood. There's some plywood, a door that they pull out of a pickup truck. There's sledgehammers flying through windshields. There's hidden batons. There's suplexes on guardrails. There's spears through doors. There's Ortiz blades. Trent gets suplexed through a windshield and bleeds from the back. They start smacking each other with lumber, and Trent hits himself in the face at some point. Dude, there's blood everywhere. Match comes to an end when Orange Cassidy pops out of the trunk of a car. Superman punches Santana. The best friends win this wild match. What a main event, Louis.
This was, I think, one of the best hardcore matches that I have seen in months, years even. It was honestly brilliant to watch. I was gripped throughout. It was a fantastic main event for the show. Really put over Santana and Ortiz in defeat and best friends in victory, setting up for them for a potential match with FTR. This match was just tremendous. It was so, Santana got like a baton, as you said, but it looked like a magic wand.
It's everywhere.
It just looked like a magic wand, which tickled me. the magic wand didn't tickle me. The seeing the magic wand tickled me. It was just great stuff. Great stuff all round. I really enjoyed the match. I thought that it was a hardcore enough. I thought going in this was going to be goofy, but it wasn't in the slightest. And I'm so, so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. It was a tremendous match. And honestly, probably to the point where I will watch this again tomorrow, which I don't tend to do with wrestling stuff, but it just seems that sort of thing I want to give my full attention to, watch again. So yeah, I'll definitely be doing that tomorrow. And if people haven't, if people are just checking us out, make sure you go and check out that match, because honestly, it was tremendous.
After the match, they get into Sue's van, because she's right there, and Sue flips them off as they drive away. My God. My God. Evan Wright left us another super chat. Thank you very much, Evan. It says, G.O.D. tribute or Vampiro tribute with the face paint? Good question. I would have a tendency to say Vampiro, especially since he has a documentary coming out soon. I think that makes more sense than Gorillas of Destiny. Chris Rains left us a super chat as well. Thank you. Chris says, that brawl was everything I want in a street fight. So many great moments. This was absolutely wild. I loved every second of it. It was crazy stuff. Couldn't have two more opposite main events from both shows tonight. Eloquent left us another super chat. Thank you very much. He says, this is the match Cole and Velveteen should have had. Sure. Even a fraction of what happened tonight would have been.
Whatever they would have had, as long as it was better than what they did have, because that was not right.
Tay Boogie left us a super chat. Thank you very much. It says, NXT singles equals AEW singles. AEW tag superior to NXT tag. NXT women superior to AEW women. The show that makes the biggest swing in their weaknesses will win. Not a bad analysis. I can get... Alex, do you have some quick thoughts about this?
No, I mean, that's certainly the point. I would say that that AEW has more ammunition to come back and equal, if not better, what's going on in NXT, because the NXT tag division is
the pits.
It's not deep.
It's the pits.
I really enjoy the top of the division, but I don't know what you have beyond the top of the division.
That's it.
So that's a problem. Whereas in AEW, you have, I don't know, it feels like a dozen different tag teams that if you book them right over a couple of months, they could become champs. And I'd be like, sure, why not? Private Party as champs by December is not impossible. Like, you just have to book them right. Mm. Like, you know, I'm saying they could convince me if they booked them right over several weeks. But I'm saying there's beyond what they have at NXT, there aren't any tag teams that I'm like, yes, I believe they, like, Indusher is not going to be tag team champs. Like, they're just not.
It's to the point where you could put Private Party in NXT, and they'd be one of the top teams. When in AEW, they hardly win on Dynamite, and that's a glowing sort of, not glowing Dynamite, but it is indicative of the NXT tag division for sure.
Yep. The Jam One Ryan B Jam left us another super chat. Excuse me. Thank you again. Says the face paint reminded me of the baseball guys from the movie The Warriors. That's what I thought of at first too. But it could have been. However, Chris Reigns left us a super chat. Thank you, and may have the answer here. Saying Santana posted Dead President's movie poster on Twitter as the face paint references. So it's a Dead President's reference. We were all wrong.
I see.
Not a clue what Dead President's is.
It's a movie from before you were born.
Thank you.
Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Again, thank you. He says, bit early still, but what are you hoping happens on the anniversary show? Title change maybe, or another surprise debut or something else entirely? Louis, do you have something quick that might come to mind for the anniversary show that you'd like to see?
Sheeta Rosa...
Alex?
That's good. I'd watch that. That'd be a good thing to do.
So that was AEW. It was a big show. People got really excited about it. And we still have a couple of super chats here before we move on to NXT, which you can still leave us, by the way, folks. We're still here to talk about NXT, so there's still time to get some super chats in here. Now we'll read your question or comment. George Barfield left us one, says, "What did I learn today? Child sandals are a poor autumn investment." Fair.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Benoit Parise left us a super chat. Thank you, Ben. He says, "Awesome job, guys. Hashtag new war in order." You know the deal. Evan Wright left us a super chat again. Thank you very much. Says, "Sour Graps appreciation super chat. Alex rules."
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Rafael Garcia says, open-ended question here. Very philosophical, actually, Rafael, tonight. What is it about Wednesday night wrestling that blows the doors off of Monday and Friday, Alex Pawlowski? let me say, just before you get into this, let's not go over 60 seconds.
I agree. That's
Cliff
a,
notes.
That's, a really, that's okay. To be succinct, Mondays and Fridays are a corporate cleansed. Just it's a wasteland of the worst ideas done over and over and over and over and over again. Whereas NXT, although they're getting some of those bad ideas transported to Wednesday in NXT, mm-hmm. They haven't been done to death there yet. And AEW is just fresh and interesting and new. That's it to me. Like all the people who are wrestling on Mondays and Fridays, if they were allowed to do everything that they are able to do, they're great professional wrestlers who are confined to a madman's idea of what sports entertainment should be. That's the difference.
If you want more of that, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Sour Graps twice a week. Alex Pawlowski. It's a good time. Trust me. Let's move on to NXT. Started off strong tonight. Shotzi Blackheart losing championship effort against Io Shirai, who retains her NXT championship, women's championship. Man, this was a good shit. This was one of the strongest beginnings that I remember in a while in NXT, because I always have in my mind AEW. Starts off strong week after week after week, and I don't have that impression with NXT tonight. This was amazing. Shotzi gets some so much great offense. She wraps up her arm early on, Io's arm, into an arm lock with her legs, pulling back on the free arm. That was good stuff. Io hits an Asai moonsault, but this was all about Shotzi in this match. Shotgun dropkick to the corner. The bulldog follows. She dodges some of Io's kicks. Hits an enziguri. She ends up dragging Io into a yes lock. A straight jacket suplex by Shotzi that's fought into a bridge. Then she reverses the bridge into an underhook submission, which was awesome. Awesome stuff. Io fights back, eats a super hurricane rana. Io German suplexes Shotzi on the apron, and it comes to an end with the meteoras and the moonsault that you referred to on Twitter, Alex, as the murder salt.
The attempted murder salt, yes. Yes, I'm going to try to kill you. If my knee's coming down on you at that force directly into your sternum doesn't kill you, it's going to make you very sore in the morning.
That's right. What did you think of the match?
For one thing, not to correct you, Warren, it was a non-title match.
Oh, it was a non-title match. I apologize.
I don't know why.
Weird.
This is my thing. I've come to the realization, and people can yell at me if they want. If you are the champion, I believe you should only wrestle championship matches. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in really crazy, rare circumstances, I'll allow for it. But if you can't figure out a way to build to a title program by having the challenger pin the champion in a non-title match, then you're just lazy. And that's the problem that I have mostly with Mondays and Fridays is because they're just so lazy. They can't conceive of a way, for example, the tag titles to not build toward a championship match other than by having two guys who aren't the champions pin the champions week after week. And, oh, well, I guess now they've earned an opportunity. Figure out a way of getting around that. Every time the champions lace them up and get in the ring, it's got to be for the belt. Otherwise, why are they champions? Especially if you're going to book it this way, where the match was amazing. So many fantastic spots made each woman look fantastic, especially Shotzi. She showed she could absolutely hang with Io Shirai, who might be the best in the world right now. So if you're going to do that and have Io come out and win the match clean anyway, why isn't it for the title? Because like the reason you have a non-title match is so the challenger can pin the champion. And then they don't have to become champion. If it's a title match, Shotzi can lose. And then they announce later in the night, next week, they're going to have a battle royal, all the women, to determine the number one contendership to Io Shirai's title. Shotzi Blackheart, after tonight, has got to be one of the favorites going into that match. And if she were to win it, she's already showed she can hang with Io Shirai and push her to her absolute limit. And that's the storyline you would go with if Shotzi wins the Battle Royal. Shotzi can come out and say, Io, I had you like four or five times in that match we had 2 weeks ago, and I know I can beat you. And Io Shirai can either be nervous or overconfident or however you want to do it. Maybe she takes shortcuts in their rematch, or she attacks her pre-match because she, whatever. There's all the stuff you can do there. That why isn't this match for the title if Shotzi's going to lose anyway? It's just a huge pet peeve of mine. The match was fantastic. And I'm looking at Shotzi and going, well, I don't know how they're going to ruin her on the main roster, but she's really, really great in NXT right now.
Oh, they'll find a way, Alex.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know they'll find a way.
I know.
Anakin JMT left us a super chat. Thank you again, Anakin. He says, Alex perfectly explained that, meaning talking about your explanation in regards to why Wednesdays are better. Perfectly explained that in 49.89 seconds. I'm glad people are keeping you honest, Pulowski. Dizzy C left us a super chat as well. Thank you very much. Says, Alex must hate New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, well, I don't like it when champions don't wrestle for the title on the line. I just don't. I've gotten to that point at this point.
Desmond Troy got smooshed by Tommaso Ciampa. It's basically...
Desmond Troy used to be Denzel Desjardins. Remember that name? And now he's Desmond Troy. They changed Tahuti Miles and Denzel Desjardins to like more easily pronounceable names, I suppose.
But you kind of remember Denzel Desjardins a little more than Desmond Troy.
How could you not remember Denzel Desjardins?
There's a little more to it. Anyway, not much here. Ciampa, an aggressive Ciampa gets the win with Willow's Bell. Goes for a chair, but Jake Atlas comes out, challenges him for a match next week because he messed him up last week or something.
Messed him up? Killed him.
He killed him. He killed him dead. I wish he would have sold this a little while longer, but I understand that they have this thing they want to get to. He got paralyzed, and then after that, he was DDT'd off a stretcher. Like, you know, we could sell this for a couple more weeks. When Jake Atlas came back and was like, I didn't appreciate how you tried to murder me a few weeks ago, Tommaso Ciampa. I want a match with you. I was like, oh, no, baby. What is you doing? No, you can't be doing that, Jake Atlas. You're going to get killed. And you know, we saw later in the night that Tommaso Ciampa isn't waiting for next week.
No, he's not. Security at Full Sail is, or at least...
Yeah. Lax.
Look, it's lax everywhere in WWE. We know this now. They have security guys, but I think they just like hang around catering and, you know, just try to talk to Charlie, essentially. Jake Atlas got beat up later on in the evening by Tommaso Ciampa, so they're getting a match next week. It'll be fine.
The big deal about it is that who comes to Jake Atlas's rescue? Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly, back off, man. You get him next week. Have him for the match. Like, just straight up down the line, like, lawful neutral. That's who this new version of Kyle O'Reilly is. And I'm totally, like, if there is a lawful neutral, I won't say babyface, lawful neutral Kyle O'Reilly versus super heel Tommaso Ciampa feud in my future, you can go ahead and hook that shit to my veins this very second. Oh my God. I cannot wait for that. Because it does appear, it doesn't make any sense for Kyle O'Reilly to be the one to get in Tommaso Ciampa's face unless they're building to more of that. Mm-hmm. Please and thank you.
Next we had Drake Maverick, who was coming to Full Sail. He got interviewed as he was walking up with his suitcase, basically saying that his game plan with his for his match against the Undisputed Era later on with Killian Dane is to work as a team against Undisputed Era. Even though he hasn't heard from Dane all week, even asks if he has his number. Later on, we see Drake Maverick finally run into Killian Dane, who doesn't know about the match and tells Maverick, basically, you're on your own, pal. Handle your own stuff. And might as well talk about the match at this point.
And then Drake says, all right, see you out there. I just love Rockstar Spud so much. I mean, Drake Maverick's his name here, but he's playing Rockstar Spud now, and I'm excited to see what this comes of it. Over the past couple of weeks, while you guys have been out doing your own thing, I've been talking with Steven Jensen about NXT stuff, and I'm like, I don't know that I love this whole thing, but I will love it forever. If what they're winding up getting to, and they pretty much did it tonight, is the old Looney Tunes cartoons with the little dog and the giant bulldog. Hey, Spike, what are you going to do? What are you doing today, Spike? Come on, let's go. I'm going to be your friend, Spike. Shut up. And he just backhands him. Like, if that's what they're going for with this pairing, I'm so here for it. I need that in my life because here's the thing. I know that Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud, is talented enough to figure out a way to make all of that work if they just let him do it. So I think that could be really great. Like, we talk about how NXT's tag division is lacking, mm-hmm. And it is. But, I mean, I could absolutely see, and I don't love this idea, but when you have a tag division that's lacking, you can use storylines to better it, even if the in-ring work has to suffer for a while to get that storyline off the ground. I could see a Killian Dane and Drake Maverick run as tag champs, if only for like a month or two, where doesn't make any sense that they're winning matches, but they continue to do so until you have the right team to take over and have a long run. They could be a transitional champion. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the match that happened following all of these segments, where the Undisputed Era, Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong, took on Drake Maverick essentially in a handicap match because he came out alone. Killian Dane wasn't bothered with it, so of course, Undisputed Era do Undisputed Era things to Drake Maverick, but this is a showcase of Maverick's never-say-die spirit, right? Despite the fact that the Undisputed Era is breaking him down. I like that at some point they take a shot of the locker room where people are watching the match and laughing. Killian Dane is there laughing along as well until William Regal arrives and tells him to get in there! What are you doing? Help your partner. So a reluctant Killian Dane goes, but once he gets there, he basically tells Drake to get in the ring and lose like a man. Undisputed Era mock him, and he turns around, and they throw Drake Maverick at him. He sort of moves out of the way and heads into the ring. Wipes out Strong. Fish comes in with a chair, and that's the DQ. After the match, well, Drake Maverick tries to say thanks again, and he gets socked in the mouth. This is where we're at, Alex.
This is where we're at. I don't remember the name of that little dog, but the little dog and Spike from Looney Tunes cartoons. That's what we're doing right now, and I'm ready to accept it. If they're going to do it right, it could be a lot of fun.
We got a couple of super chats here. Blocking Adebayo left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says, just hang signs of, you do have a match next week everywhere, and security won't be needed. Pretty much. Anakin GMT left us another super chat. Thank you very much. And he says, hey, if I was WWE security, I'd hang out in Carity Ring to try and talk to Charlie too. Except, you know, they're collecting a check. They're supposed to be doing a job, right? Dizzy C left a super chat as well. Thank you very much. He says, I doubt Warren or Louie will remember because they weren't here 4 weeks ago, but I just want to remind Alex that I called O'Reilly turning face in his match with Drake. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, no, it did. I remember that very well. I was tentative at that time. I'm all in for it now. There's no reason why he wasn't out there with Fish and Strong. I mean, like, they should be a cohesive unit. Mm-hmm. I understand why Cole's not around because they haven't done anything with him since he lost that match last week to Finn. But O'Reilly should be there with his other two boys. He's not because he doesn't think like them anymore. And I'm totally down for that.
We had Austin Theory cut a promo only to sort of have an open invitation to whoever wanted to come fight him. And it turns out that it's a very, very angry Kushida who answered the call, ran in and just floated over him, put him into holds and got him into the hoverboard lock for the win. And held on to the hoverboard lock a little more than the referee wanted him to after the bell rang. Commentary was going crazy over the fact that we've never seen Kushida like this. Obviously, they never watched New Japan. But this was, I am 10,000% pushing Kushida. I have nothing wrong to say about this.
Yeah. Especially Kushida with his new gimmick. As a brutal vigilante who only targets accused pedophiles. I'm so in on him going after... It cannot be a coincidence that he brutalizes Velveteen Dream 1 week and the next week it's Austin Theory. It can't be a coincidence. Like, there's a bunch of other people I'm sure he'd like to brutalize, but they were all released by NXT UK. I am excited for this, any kind of push with Kushida, especially when he's using... his vast array of arm-breaking maneuvers on people who deserve to get their arms broken.
This was good. I'm excited to see where they're going to go with this. And this led us into a segment with Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano, and they're mad that Tegan broke their television. Candice, first of all, is upset that Tegan is ungrateful, and ungrateful and not a good friend. Johnny's mad that their TV was busted, and he says he hasn't gone upstairs in a week because there's still spaghetti everywhere. He says he wants to send Tegan a bill for their expensive new TV, but Candice is looking forward to winning the number one contender battle royal next week, while Johnny Gargano makes fun of Damian Priest and Timothy Thatcher. A little later on, we get a promo from Tegan Knox, who says that she hasn't changed. The LeRae that she knew wouldn't sit around and listen to her husband whine about a $200 TV. So he could just watch himself lose on it, right? So that's basically the gist of the segment, which sort of revolved around one of two big announcements that William Regal had today. One of them being number one contenders battle royal next week for the women's title. Haven't we seen this not too long ago, Alex?
Yes, they don't seem to figure out any other way of determining a battle. I think they do feel like their women's division is fairly plateaued. Like, there's not a huge hierarchy. I mean, obviously there is, but they try and present it as though Indy Hartwell is on the same level as Rhea Ripley. And I like Indy Hartwell. I think she's got a bright future, but she's not there yet. So her being in a number one contenders battle royal doesn't make a lot of sense. That she's on a level playing field with Tegan Knox and Candice LeRae and Shotzi Blackheart and Rhea Ripley and the like. You could easily have, like, here are the women who based on the past 6 months of work, they've had title matches, they've had reigns as champion, whatever it is. These five women are in this fatal five-way match. You can make it in a little elimination match if you wanted to take up more time, but Rhea, Tegan, Candice LeRae, Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai. You could have like six, seven even. But once you start going beyond that, it becomes kind of funny. Like it doesn't. We know there are certain people who aren't at that level yet, and you don't have to try and convince us that they are.
Mm-hmm. The second, since we're talking about William Regal's announcements, the second one he gave us was the Gauntlet Eliminator match. Not elimination, not eliminating, Eliminator match, which will happen again next week. And here are the rules. Two men will start in the ring. Every 4 minutes, another man will enter. The only way to be eliminated is via pinfall or submission. And the last man standing will be named the number one contender for the NXT Championship and will go on to face Finn Balor at TakeOver in October. So that's interesting. Who should win this, Alex?
They haven't told us how many people are in it. And that's the thing that makes little sense to me. There should be a number of people who are in it. You should also, I'm sorry, you should be forced to tell us who they are. Like, sure. Unless you're planning a major surprise, you should be forced to tell us who these people are, because I don't know. If you're not telling me who's in it, are there people who are only considered to be contenders for the North American title? Is that their ceiling right now? Like, there's a lot of stuff. I don't know. Finn is a wonderfully malleable as heel and face. I could see either a heel or a face winning this match to face him, because he can switch back and forth. He's a wonderful tweener right now. So we could see that, but I do love the idea of basically it being a Royal Rumble that you have to win by pinfall. Like that's cool, because that's basically what it is. It's a gauntlet match is two guys enter, one guy gets pinned, mm-hmm. he leaves, and somebody else enters, as opposed to this, which is you just keep getting guys every 4 minutes, and I'm totally here for that. But they haven't told us how many it is. If it's five, that's too few.
They said five.
Did they say five? Okay, yeah. Well, great. Five. But they haven't named the, have they named the five? Because if they haven't named the five, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm not sure if there's a person who's ready for that big, like a takeover match. Like I'm really high on a lot of guys like Bronson Reed and stuff, but I don't know if they're ready for a takeover match for the NXT title. I'd love for whoever it is who gets the shot, if I can see that and go, I immediately believe he could take the title off Finn Balor, even though I know he's not going to take the title off Finn Balor. You know what I mean?
Louis, do you have a soft spot for someone?
I mean, before this show, I thought Gargano would just be a great first feud for Balor, just put him over. But after the booking of this this show, I wouldn't be shocked if Kushida maybe won it. They put him over strong in his match. It's a match we haven't seen before, a match I'd sure as hell like to see.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
It's a story for Kushida. His first takeover match, and he joined the company 18 months ago, which is staggering. So, I mean, anything to get those guys into a match on TV on pay-per-view in what will be a fantastic takeover match, I'd be keen for. So I wouldn't be too sure to see Kushida win next week.
Well, yep. Rafael Garcia left a super chat and echoes your sentiments, Louis, and thank you very much, Rafael, saying Kushida versus Balor, inject that into my veins. Let me OD, bring me back, and inject it again. I agree. Mm-hmm. That would be fantastic stuff. We got a couple of other super chats as well. Blocking Adebayo left us another super chat. Thank you very much. Says if Kushida is to target accused sex offenders only, my God, NXT will have to hire Enzo back next week.
Oh,
don't speak that stuff into the universe. Just don't. But thank you for the super chat. Anakin, JMT, and Zach Barber both left super chats, telling us that the little dog that we were trying to find the name of earlier was Chester. It's Chester and Spike.
Chester and Spike, yes. Listen, Drake Maverick and Killian Dane as Chester and Spike works. It just works. Book it, you cowards!
Anakin left us a super chat again. Thank you very much, Anakin, for the super chats tonight. Says Tegan can't replace the TV since she's trying to get a PS5 pre-order in. But she can do both. She... get the lower end model. It's fine. She'll be fine. It's not that.
I would love for her to have to wait until like Black Friday sales and get like a 22 inch for like $89 and give that to Johnny Gargano. I think that'd be great.
But that would require some long-term storytelling, and I don't know if you heard, Alex. We fans don't like it. We don't like long-term storytelling. Breezango successfully defended their NXT Tag Team Championships against Imperium. This match started cooking towards the half of it. Fandango just ate it. He just ate it for the first half of the match. And then when Breeze finally got the hot tag, this match picked up, started cooking. I was pleasantly surprised at how much fun it was. There was a beautiful German suplex by Aichner. There was a spinebuster and a PK combo by Imperium on Breeze. And the Imperium European bomb finisher is avoided thanks to some interference by Fandango. Pushing Breeze onto Bartels on the top rope, which allows the champs to retain. This was, like I said, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the second half of this match. Alex, this was good stuff.
I'm a Breezango super fan. I was so excited to see the Fashion Police back. If they have a long reign, they need to do a thing where the title belts are stolen from the locker room, and then for like a few weeks they just go and do Fashion Police segments, do them just the exact same way they did them a few years ago because they were so great, and have them interview people and sweat them under the hot lights, and just do dust for fingerprints, like do all kinds of fun stuff. These guys are so creative. I love it. This match was so good. I mean, it really was. I mean, again, you said when it picked up, it was. I mean, a lot of it was just like, oh, we got to wait for the hot tag for Breeze. And but there were a lot of points where they had me. Like, I believed that they were going to put the titles back on Imperium. And I was sure. I guess it would be difficult for them because you still can't. Hey, Louis, they're not letting anybody in from the States, are they? Please tell me your country's not letting anybody in from the States. Because they couldn't just have sent Imperium back over there with the tag titles for a while, since they're starting up NXT UK again. I was really pleased with the way that they did all the near falls. I thought this was excellently done. I liked this circumventing of expectations with all the tag team moves we know and love from these two teams were all countered in very interesting specific ways. I think these four guys can just go in the ring, and I really love that they had that opportunity to. And I don't know who else there is for, like, there's Legado de Fantasma and that's it. And like, as much as I do like Mendoza and also Wild to an extent, I don't think they're at that level, like, as a team to compete with these two teams at their top. And that's the only other team that I even see. I mean, am I forgetting somebody in NXT as a tag team that is near that level? They certainly haven't been booked at that level.
Outside of Undisputed Era. And
right, but they're not doing that. That's it. Right? They said, we're not, you guys are going, you're not involved in the tag title picture anymore. If they could be at any moment, they could bring them back. But I don't see anybody else out there. And that's a problem for NXT.
Casey Catanzaro.
Sorry, I have looked, and there are flights from the US to the UK.
Oh, okay. Well, then we hey, never know.
I mean, if there are, let's hope Pac can somehow find his way.
Stow away in a luggage compartment. Come on.
Exactly. On the reverse flight, Broserweights-esque. Find his way onto the plane and get
Pete Dunne can come back with him.
Yeah. Two for one special. Katie Catanzaro and Caden Carter defeated Jesse Kamea and Xia Li. This was a fun little match where Caden Carter did most of the heavy lifting in this match. She looked very, very good. She got some really good, strong offense here. Xia Li looked good as well. finish came when a combination between Casey and Caden. Caden had Zion at crucifix, and then Catanzaro pops her over into a bridging pin for the win. I like the finish. It suits both of those ladies very, very well. The end of the match, they try to show respect for each other, fist bumps, but Xia Li don't want no sportsmanship, Alex. What'd you think about all of this?
Interesting. I was watching this thing going, like, there's got to be some angle coming out of this. It's really weird to, like, up against AEW, who's always putting out, like, really high storyline stuff or great in-ring work.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, say, here you go. Here's these two women's tag teams. One who you've never seen wrestle before. The other one who you've only seen get pinned as enhancement talent. Here you go. We're going to have a match that's going to last a while. Like, that surprised me. But I do think Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, if you actually book them as such, could be a lot of fun to watch in a women's tag division. This all seemed to be building toward Xia Li, or, as Vic Joseph somehow pronounced it, Xia Li. Wow. She's now a heel because she doesn't want to do fist bumps after the match. I mean, they already changed her hair.
Yeah.
Like, those extensions are very Mulan-esque. It seems like they're trying to build on something there. I don't know if I'm interested in a heel kung fu lady in NXT. Like, if that's a thing that we're going with, I mean, if that's a thing we're doing,
well,
I don't know that I'm not interested. But I didn't watch that going, oh, okay. Heel Xia Li, now that I can get on board with. I might eat my words in a few weeks, but I doubt it.
Well, we'll see. You know, and as far as kung fu and martial arts go, you know, you have ninjas on main roster, right?
Right.
Damian Priest successfully defended the North American title against Timothy Thatcher. There was lots of grappling here to start. Thatcher using Thatch style. Trying to work on the champ's limbs, blocking quite a bit, and then using the limbs to his advantage. Priest hits a Falcon Arrow, but Thatcher blocks a kick and knocks Priest down, gets him into an arm bar. Priest obviously reaches the ropes. He also hits a sit-out choke slam. Then Priest gets stuck into the Fujiwara arm bar. Priest gets... goes for the South of Heaven, but his arm gives out. He connects with a flatliner, then hits the choke slam, spinning heel kick off the top. The Reckoning. That's all she wrote. I mean, fine match. Give me your thoughts, Alex.
I did not love the story in the match. Because like one of the things that also bugs me in a match is, superior technical wrestler spends the entire match working over a body part, but the powerhouse wrestler somehow uses the power of will to push through the pain and use that specific body part to deliver a huge move that seals the deal the story's a lot better if he can't hit that choke slam. And he's got to do some other things that he needs to do to beat Thatcher. Also, I pitched this last week. I wanted Thatcher to beat him in 5 minutes.
Sure.
Because Thatcher, the promo last week where he was like using film study. When Priest does this, you do this to him. When Priest does this, you do this to him. When Priest does this, this is your response. Like, he's teaching his class that. And I thought, that's great. Like, to have this guy who's like just who's not as talented as Damian Priest, but who's smarter and knows him inside and out, knows all of his moves, knows all his tendencies, and uses that to surprise Damian Priest, who by his own admission has been sitting in a hot tub for 3 weeks since he became champion. Like, he's not prepared for this.
Can you believe how pruney his hands must be now?
It's disgusting, honestly. Just stewing in his own juices. I think that that the storyline that I've been wanting WWE to do in a lot of occasions is champion gets way overconfident and doesn't take their opponent seriously and gets their just their their ass handed to them in a match, and then has to redouble their efforts and get serious to get that rematch and get back the title. Like, you could easily make that the story for Damian Priest right now. I don't care about him. I mean, like, he's a champion now, but he's just kind of a douche. Like, if that douchiness, like, led to him losing his title that he worked so hard to get, and now he realizes, man, I gotta switch up what I'm doing, and he goes back to heel Timothy Thatcher, who's the champion now, and he has to refigure out how to get at that guy again. That's a better storyline than Timothy Thatcher, who all his promos say, I know exactly how to beat the guy, and then he goes in and loses to the guy. Though, now you're making me not trust Timothy Thatcher, and sure. I don't want to think Timothy Thatcher is full of shit. I want to think he's really smart, and that's how he's going to win matches. Having him tell me how he's going to win matches and me believe him, and then he loses the match anyway, is a great way for me to, like, go, I don't want to watch Timothy Thatcher anymore. Please don't do that with Timothy Thatcher.
Otherwise, we'll be stuck with, like you said, douchebag Damian Priest reeking of Drakkar Noir through the television screen. Folks, that was NXT. Just a quick couple of super chats as we're going out here. Dizzy C left us a super chat. Thank you very much. Says, circling back to what we were talking about earlier about weaknesses and strengths in regards to AEW and NXT, says, I think the hurdle is way harder for AEW for their weaknesses than NXT. You can very quickly make several tag teams out of just the depth of male wrestlers they have. Even if AEW gets their women's storylines in order, the rosters are built different. And that's a very good point that he brings up.
Yep.
And Weeping Balmer, to close this up, leaves us a super chat, says, any thoughts on the Yoshida-produced Final Fantasy 16 that was announced today? It's been one of those days. I heard about it, haven't seen the trailer. Of course I'm excited about it. Why wouldn't you be excited about it? It'll hopefully be fantastic. Just like the fact that you guys stuck to the very end of this review is fantastic. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone who gave us a super chat here this evening. Louis, where can people find you on social media?
At the Louis Dangle for everything I've got going on. I have an interview up that went up today with Santana and Ortiz on the new Wrestle 2 channel. So head on over there and check that out. They explain why they joined AEW and things of that nature. Very good interview. Very, very enjoyable. I've got a few from NXT UK coming up too over the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. And on actually Fightful's YouTube channel yesterday, I went live with Alex McCarthy to do the retro review of Unforgiven 2000. Normally we do the pay-per-view that took place 20 years ago to the month. Normally that's a select exclusive, a select perk, but we thought for this month we'd head on over to YouTube and give you guys a bit of a sneak peek and a taste for what you can expect to see on Select. So go and check that out and let me know on Twitter what you guys think, if there's any improvements you want from the show, as it's the second one we've done. So yeah, check that out.
Alex, where can people find you out on the social media world?
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter. I do the Sour Graps show on Fightful Select this coming Saturday is the 100th episode of Sour Graps. It is the Sour Centennial. Get all, people have been bugging me for a Q&A episode since like episode 40, and here it is. Get your questions in to me. Use the hashtag AskSourGraps, and I will answer your questions on Saturday. It's going to be a great, fun time.
Go right out there. Use it on Twitter. Hashtag Ask Sour Graps. Let's get some questions in for Alex, the big Sour Centennial. And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Warren Hayes or on my own YouTube channel, youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. I'm going to end the stream and make sure that it doesn't continue afterwards. We'll see you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator.
Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.